Value Coffee Talk podcast.
This podcast is a service of the Enterprise Value Collective, a community for business value-focused leaders and practitioners, and is sponsored by our value consultancy, Genius Drive.
Our mission is to help accelerate and optimize value articulation in each of your customer engagements and throughout the customer lifecycle. And we're here to talk with Cheryl Marriott. She is the Senior Director for Sales Enablement at Skillsoft. And for those who don't know Skillsoft, they're a global leader in corporate digital learning. They've got learning platforms, courses, and much more that we're going to learn about today from Cheryl. Welcome.
Thanks. Hi, it's nice to be here.
So first, tell us a little bit about your sales enablement role at Skillsoft and the group.
Absolutely. So I lead a global sales enablement team. So we look over the revenue organization as a whole, but we're really specialized with sellers. So we do some work with pre-sales, sellers, SDRs, also our customer success where appropriate in the revenue organization, but we really do focus on the sellers in the organization. And we, as a team, have, I like to call them the pillars that we have in my team. We have onboarding that we do for the organization. We have coaching. So we have a director in charge of coaching both one-to-one and within regional groups as we do rollouts, process methodology, MedPIC. And then we also do our own curriculum design and development for our folks to help them along with their learning about our product lines and about the process and how to sell. And then lastly, we also create sales plays and we lead our value solution practice. So we lead how to value sell and the tools that go along with that and all of the tech stack on communicating and enabling. So there's a lot that is packaged into my small team.
That does sound like a big set of responsibilities. And you're in enablement, but your program is, your platform is also enablement. So if we thought about your customers, what are some of the trends that you're seeing out there, let's say over the last year or two, that's driving you to evolve the enablement program?
I think the probably the biggest trend is AI. AI is the great disruptor. And so we see a lot of customers that are looking at how do I use it? How do I teach it? How do I govern it? How do I use it to be more efficient, to scale? We also are seeing a lot of reskill and upskill. So a lot of skill gaps that organizations have been addressing. As you see AI come into play at a higher rate, and as you see technology teams that have to interact more across the organization, it's the power skills. It's how do I communicate? How do I collaborate? How do I tell my story to a partner, like in another part of the business, in a way that they understand it? So we see a lot of need for that. And then I think the third thing I'd talk about is badging. You know, our customers are looking at how do I prove out that someone really accomplished a task and a learning journey. And so we see a lot of use, and we can even track trends across which badges are being used, because that's something you can carry with you. It's blockchain. So that's something we see more and more that they want to insert into their learning.
So the customers have this disruptive technology that's there, and they're wanting to know, how do we leverage it? How do we understand it? I'd also imagine that many of these organizations are looking to do more with less and maybe take advantage of AI with it. And then it's kind of getting the skills up. How have you seen the purchase decisions kind of be shaped by some of these disruptive trends on one way that say, look, we need to invest a lot more in skills, otherwise maybe our resources won't be able to take advantage of it the way we want, so we can do more with less. But at the same time, we're faced with a lot of economic uncertainty, a lot of just environmental uncertainty that's out there. And then another trend that we've seen is just this rise of the big buying committee. Talk about that and if that's something that you're seeing as well.
Oh yeah, we absolutely had to take those shifts in the economy and also in technology into how we deliver our product. And we do, you know, to brag on Skillsoft, it's best in class. You know, we have conversational AI simulators we've put into the programs. We have, again, we do still do the one-to-one, we do executive level coaching, but we understand that people need to practice those skills. They need to benchmark, and those resources and organizations are less and less because they're scaling back. And so how do I help you within the world of increased technology that can do a function of your job? How do I help you reskill so that you're still valuable to the organization? How do I help you redeploy that time into a more productive task? And how do I do that at a scalable, you know, way that can get us more quickly to whether it's productivity or billable hours or whatever it is that customers looking to achieve so they can stay, you know, really competitive in this economy. So we definitely see that and have those conversations coming at us both with new customers and renewals. Is let's take a look at what you're using and how you're using it and how we can help you be most productive, how we can help you get the outcome that you want to have. So we have a lot of outcome-based conversations and value. How do you get the most value out of what you're doing? And that can come in a lot of different ways, right? That value can come from a cost savings, but value can also come from redeploying your productivity into better parts of the organization.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting transitionary time with the rise of technology and automation and trying to figure out, you know, how do we upskill our customers so that they can be more effective with all of this free time at the same time that they're in transition. So it sounds like, you know, you guys are really hitting the home run there on addressing that and focusing it on value. If we were to look at it from the perspective of your internal teams. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was just going to transition, April. I was going to say those same, you know, the same things we're seeing, we absolutely see internally. So we're seeing the same things. How do, you know, how are we using our own AI? How are we using it in every role? I look at it in my organization, at every level in these pillars of my enablement team, how can I use AI to help scale what you do? How can we use it to make us smarter? How can we use it to have that just-in-time knowledge that we need? We're cutting not just hours off of work, we're cutting weeks off of work by using AI. So that's one thing. And then it's the cross-functional skill set. It's the upskilling, reskilling. It's, do I have people that can lean in and work across the team and not just in a silo? And, you know, we used to, many years ago, we talked about the T-shaped employee. You know, are you wide and deep? Can you do many things and can you do something really well? And this changes how we think about that. And so that's changing how I'm approaching how I enable not just my own team, but how I enable the salespeople. And you know, when you think about how we're selling into an organization, their strategies are really at the enterprise level. We're not selling, you know, tick the box training as much as we're selling these big enterprise wide transformations or how we're solving an enterprise wide strategy problem for you. And that takes teaching our sellers how to have that conversation and, you know, how to have the conversation at that level and inserting the right value and the right story that helps that C-level, you know, say yes and make the decision.
So Cheryl, how exactly are you doing that, right? They need these skills to have that value and outcomes based approach, as you mentioned. Yeah. They've got to engage at that executive level, which isn't easy. They've got to be able to clearly articulate the differentiating story. So what are you doing in terms of training and coaching? And what would you recommend that other sales enablement, other value leaders, other revenue leaders do to execute on that?
So from a I think I would take it back from the journey that we've taken in, you know, as we've seen these trends develop. And as we at Skillsoft personally worked on building out, you know, our approach to AI for our customers, we started with storytelling, you know, almost probably started building out and training into it about 2 years ago. How do we teach our account executives how to really tell a story? And we use our kickoff, we use our revenue kickoff every year to bring like the big ideas and the themes to our teams. And so not this past year, but the year before it was really about storytelling. It was about how you think about solution selling, not product selling. And so that was like the first step in the journey. Now, the steps that we've taken since that I think make a big difference is how we pair with talent enablement. So there's sales enablement, but there's also talent enablement. And talent enablement is how we develop our people in the delivery, in their coaching skills, in their leadership skills. And you can't have those two things function in silos. You can't have those two things function separately. Mm-hmm. So I've been really working to integrate, like, how do we look at the root cause of why we're not maybe positioning something the right way instead of just producing more curriculum or courses? There are ways that we can partner and produce a better conversation in general. So we took it then from storytelling to how do we use our own conversational AI intelligence? And we have some simulators we've built. So now our account executives can go into the simulator, speak into it, pretend they're talking to a customer, and it gives them real-time feedback and says, your tone here was, you know, not correct, or maybe you should have talked about this, or, you know, we put in a rubric and we can score them. And that helps us scale the mm-hmm. practice that our people need that they don't always get from their manager, not that kind of time investment, right? So we've learned how to start inserting that. And I talked a little bit about one-to-one coaching. We have both a coach on my team. So he goes in and we'll have one-to-one coaching, talk through deal cycles, coach our regional vice presidents, but we also have our executive level coaches. And we are not just coaching leaders. We have now picked, I think it's about 20 account executives across the company that we're starting to put through these executive coaching sessions. Mm-hmm. And so those are a few of the things that we're doing, but I think one of the biggest things, and I know this is what's going to make your ears perk up, but last year we brought a value platform back to the company. And we had worked with a value engineering team many years ago that we disbanded. And then we worked with a platform to deliver, and we didn't renew, and we turned that off. And we kind of tried to figure out how we're going to approach in a scalable way how to value sell and how to help our account executives who that's not their in their wheelhouse. You know, they are great at selling. They're not great at the back end calculations and research, and nor should they be spending their time doing that. So to bring that back in a very, in an elegant way to deliver, but also in a way that we're supported by a platform partner has been really critical in how we change the way that our account executives and our sellers and even our customer success sees how that they can have the conversation. Like automated delivery really helps there.
So much gold in what you just said. You talked about sales enablement. You talked about talent enablement and the coaching. You talked about one-to-one coaching, you know, AI generated coaching. I think one of the challenges that organizations face is they've tried a lot of things. And it sounds like, you know, you've had a value engineering team, you disbanded it, you tried the platform, didn't renew it. So like, what do you think are the core components that lead to the success? Is it the coaching that's really helping take it to the next level?
I think it's three things that we really looked at doing differently this time around. Number one was having executive sponsorship as you're bringing in like a new programmatic approach. Mm-hmm. It's so yes. important that at the top levels of an organization that you're matching the strategy of your executive leadership team and your, you know, senior leadership team, because without that, you've really lost the mind share. So mm-hmm. that was, you know, step one. Step two was picking the right partner. So sourcing and picking the right partner to bring in for that platform and for the development that I knew not only would have a quality platform that we could integrate with Salesforce, that we could bring in and have it speak to all the systems, but mm-hmm. that we knew we could trust for how it delivers, how we get data, how we can have ease of use of our salespeople and like visibility and that automation. And then the third thing is the enablement piece of it. Mm-hmm. We knew that this time we couldn't have one person enabling on a value tool. So we had to look mm-hmm. at if it's not going to wither on the vine, we have to have a people resource. And so we've hired two more folks that are doing builds, but also demos, one-to-one, getting in teams, meetings, getting in with our regionals. And that's going to be the big differentiator. That's where we see change happen. And we can even see it in the data and in the reporting when we get in and do a meeting with a team in EMEA and they have some questions or confusion about the value output or how do I tell the story? And we get in and there's an immediate spike in the use of the analyses. So we can start to measure how impactful that that one-to-one touch can be, and not just a platform provider, not just, you know, the build, but how we support that build in the right way.
Yeah. Cheryl, I do think that's essential. We've got some research that's just about to come out that shows that, you know, the value automation platform can be incredibly helpful. If you pick one that's too complex, it doesn't get the adoption that you need. So you got to keep it simple, easy to use, well integrated into the whole flow. And most importantly, you've got to have a couple of other things, the enablement around it, which is essential. You've got to have that support. And a lot of times organizations are looking at it like, well, I'll just put a platform in place, or I'll create a tool and all the salespeople will use it.
Yeah.
And you might have, like you said, some, maybe one person is a part-time job supporting it. And that's not enough. You actually have to invest in both the platform and the business value consultants and engineers to ultimately support it, and the enablement, training, and coaching to go with it.
Correct. It is not Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will not come. So we definitely have to put more support behind those things.
Definitely talk about, you mentioned the executive leadership as being another important element, and we see that as an essential. Top down, the more that it's supported, as well as this bottom up. From a training and coaching standpoint, you didn't mention specifically, do you certify the sellers on the tool? Is there like a certification program? And then how do you get the coaching to occur? Because we know that that first line coaching, or even the support group coaching, is so important to effective adoption and use.
So we have a couple programs in place that we hesitate to say certify, because in our world, that's a real certification. Yeah. So I will call it badging. But we have our own, you know, badging that, again, it carries along with you. It's trackable. We create assessments along with it that we have in our own platform, in Percipio, Skillsoft's platform. And so we can create not only the curriculum that takes them through little micro videos, so I can go back and watch. I don't remember how to log into it through Salesforce. I can go watch a video on how to do that. I want to see that demo that I saw my, you know, enablement person give. I can go back to that video and I can watch it. And as you complete that, then we can both assign it, but we also know you've completed it. So that's how we can assess that you've made it through the initial curriculum, I'll call it. But as we're looking forward, something that we're doing differently, actually this last month and forward, is we are going into the team meetings and the one-to-one, because we find that the office hours and the follow-up is where you really get the feedback and we can say they're ready to go. And then the last thing that we're launching next month is we took our own Skillsoft Casey. It's a conversational AI simulator, and we have loaded in our skills transformation decks that we would present to customers. And we are putting people through that so they can practice and get a score back. And like, are you able to talk about this? And we'll continue to use that conversation simulator to load in a value story deck, and like, how do you speak to it? So that's another way that we can scale that help. But building those things takes experts. You need to write a rubric. You need to know what you're putting into it. Again, just like a value platform, if you don't build it with the help of value engineers and, you know, some solution SMEs, you're not going to get good output. And so what we put into those, we consult and make sure we put the right information in as well.
Such helpful insights, Cheryl. What is the one piece of advice you'd like to leave the Enterprise Value Collective with today?
I think the best piece of advice I could give after living through this for about 4 years is we take a crawl, walk, run approach now to these programs that we bring in. And we've learned our lessons through not doing that in the past. Is, you know, the first thing you must do is have all the right partnerships in place. We're crawling, we're infants as well. And so having the right partners to bring in, buy the professional services, get the partners to support you. Don't think you can pop a platform in and go to running. You have to take the right approach. And then we map out what that looks like. So we really mapped out what is in crawl. Like, what are we going to do? We're going to pilot it. We're going to pick, you know, some top performers. We're gathering insights from them. We're refining it. We're going back. We're touching it again and again and again. And so I think you have to take that approach and you have to define what each of those steps look like. and bring the right partners in, trusted advisors. We try to be that to our customer. We're a trusted advisor. We want to be your strategic advisor, and we want to bring that in too.
Absolutely. Great suggestion, Cheryl. Hopefully this helps others who are looking to deploy value enablement across their organization. I really appreciate you joining the Value Coffee Talk podcast.
That was fun. Thanks for inviting me.
And if you like what you heard, hit the like button, subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes, sign up for the Enterprise Value Collective. You can go to LinkedIn for that or on our geniusdrive.com website on the community tab. Sign up there so you can stay in touch with us on the latest events, tools. There's going to be some new research insights out. So really important stuff. And until next time, our Enterprise Value Collective, keep sharing and growing together.